Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. With me today, live here at the kitchen table, is my dad. How you doing, Dad?
Hey, how you doing, son?
You might also hear in the background my small son. But that's kind of the point of this whole thing, just to talk as we would normally. And if there's a crying baby in the background, then so be it. So, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing real good.
Good. What'd you think about the games this week? We had talked... We saw the Thanksgiving Day games, but we didn't talk about the Ravens-Steelers game.
And I think it's a shocking situation that we've been talking about the Steelers. It's a team I really had, and before the season started, I really didn't think they would be doing too well.
No, I mean, there's a lot of weaknesses there.
A lot of talent missing. Iffy Roethlisberger, was he healthy or not? I didn't pencil him in for to be talking about playoffs at this point in the season.
No.
So that's it's a credit to them.
Yeah, very true.
And the coach, who seems like he's young enough that he still wants to play, because I saw him about to enter the field in the game.
He was on the film. He's not the first coach to step on the field, nor will he be the last, but obviously we're talking about it, so now it's an issue.
So what is that stroll going to cost him, $100,000 or more?
Yeah, I'd heard upwards of a draft pick, but I don't think that's going to happen. But yeah, it's probably like $100,000. I forget, because a couple years ago, the Jets had a sideline trainer, and the trainers would set up this wall along on the sidelines. There were those markers even onto the sidelines of where certain players can and cannot stand.
Well, that seemed intentional.
Well, but that was intentional. Like, they're making a wall, and he's sticking out his knee, he trips some guy, and it'd be... That guy versus ACL.
Well, Pittsburgh, I mean, I think the greatest Houdini was Hines Ward. He's retired now. So there's a guy that really could, as they've said in the past, an NFL official, give you the business with a smile.
Yes, it's true.
So if you look at the video with Tomlin, I mean, it's quite a smirk in his face there. So
it is a smirk, but
it's a tradition for doing things like that in Pittsburgh.
What's interesting is, so he's looking up at the video screen. It's called, I forget the term, but I think it's jumbotroning or screening or whatever.
Sure, they want to see who's behind them.
Yeah,
without turning around.
Who's it? Larry Fitzgerald in the Super Bowl against the Steelers. He was caught doing that. He's running, and you see his eyes glance up at the screen. And
where's the threat?
Exactly. So he's doing that. So I think that's when he realized, because he probably didn't, you know, Tomlin's the type of guy who he wouldn't do that on purpose. Like, that's not his style.
Well,
like,
I think we could all go to YouTube and review the film and see the smile. And but, you know, it looks like he was enjoying himself. And for that price, he really should.
Well, yeah. But I think he's caught, you know, he had the smirk because he realized, it's Thanksgiving night. Everybody's watching this game, and he makes a mistake like that. That's just silly. I don't think it was like, you guys caught me. No, it was like, oh, my God, what was I doing? That was just silly.
Well, I think if they fine him that heavily, then other coaches, other teams are going to have to be flagged for this activity because it's the flavor of the month.
Right. And that's the thing. The NFL is pretty reactionary. I remember after the Tuck rule, you told me, the Tuck rule, I still think, that Tuck game.
It's gone now.
Yeah, I know. But you said, wait a season. Like, they won't do it immediately, but they'll wait a season. What was it, the thing with last year, last Thanksgiving Day, the Texans versus the Lions, and Jim Schwartz throws out a challenge flag before the play ended, but because the rules state you can't throw the flag while the play is happening, they disregarded that, which he would have won. And that, I know, got immediately turned over. Mm-hmm. So whether they wait a year on this or not, but I think you might be right. I think they will change. They'll make a rule where it says you can't go on for, you know, whatever. They might be the 12th man even.
Well, I haven't seen an NFL rule book. I mean, as many rules I've heard is in there, 11,500 or something. It should be next to the Gideon Bible in all hotels because, I mean, but he's going to refresh themselves on that. Who could possibly call that game? And if you called it, who would watch it?
Not many people. But that's why they always talk about the refs are letting them play. They're not calling everything. They're letting them play. They're letting the game develop. But there's a reason why most of these referees are lawyers. you know, 6 days out of the week.
And it seems like every other person I meet in this world. I tread cautious.
Whether they're a real one or they play one on TV, you know, it's just that way.
Yeah.
So that'd be interesting to see. There were some other good games this week. I know the Chiefs Broncos game.
Well, they're saying. I mean, I didn't see the game, but I heard how sharp Manning was.
Then
I saw the final score. 35-28. So I'm like, as sharp as you were, and that's what happened. And Kansas City, I think they've I don't know what's the polite phrase to say.
They've jumped the shark.
Yeah.
That's meant when it's you know, the time has come for it to end, or you know.
Right.
But it was interesting because I looked at their schedule. All their losses have come after their bye, mm-hmm. And I forget how Andy Reid, because I know you talk about Denny Green was great after the bye.
Denny Green, one thing about Denny Green, every game he played to win. I mean, no, every coach says that. I mean, but this guy was serious business in preseason. Just loved his effort.
Didn't he have, the most undefeated records in the preseason or something like that? Some ridiculous stat where he did play to win every game.
Well, he knew who people were and sometimes let him off the hook.
We let him off the field. That's a great clip. That's one of the great press conferences. So many, but that was one of them.
Oh, yeah. He's a character.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, that's why some people say they should have a cooling off period for the coaches to meet the media, but that's not what fans want.
No,
exactly.
No, if anything, they should be, because you know there's usually that office. You know, I know in Major League Baseball they do that. The reporters go into the office and you know there's the manager, sure. Legs up, you know, shirt off. Yeah. That's what they should do with the coaches. Sit behind the, you know, then you're, you know, he can throw things around. He can really be as he wants to be.
Right.
But yeah.
But it doesn't look the same when you're sitting, when you get your feet up and you drop the mic and then like walk out of your own office. It's not the same effect.
Exactly. But like half, you know, depending on who the coach is, like Belichick, he won't give you anything. He'll barely tell you, you know, instead of paint drying, he'll tell you like, well, I think we used paint. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know what it is. So, but you know, then you've got Rex and you've got somebody like Jim Mora in the past and, you know, all those things where it's just ridiculous and it's fun.
Playoffs. Now, that was the one before the 76er that was saying that.
Practice. Oh, practice. The Allen Iverson practice. Man, we talking about practice.
How is me practicing make you better? It's a great line. Coaches don't want to hear that.
No. Bobby Knight had a lot of great press conferences when he came out with the bullwhip, whipped it, and said,
oh, yeah.
This is what I call my motivational tool. Well,
the good news is that they had folding chairs because he would have made it fold.
That's absolutely right. Yeah, he had a habit of that. So, yeah, there were some interesting games. What happened about
the Cowboys?
Cowboys. Yeah, I thought that game should not have been that close against the Raiders. I know the Raiders are good. They're a good running team, but still.
Yeah. Well, can you name the quarterback?
McGloin? I think his name is McGloin.
McGloin.
And I only know that because it was a Thanksgiving game.
Right.
You know, if that's, you know, week 11 on a Sunday, 4:25, I'm not watching that game.
McGloin?
No. But it's Thanksgiving Day. You gotta keep it on, even as a background tool.
Well, so. The game was the greatest game had to be this week was the Seahawks.
Yeah.
They dispatched
Breeze and the Saints. Breeze and the Saints.
But then Rob Ryan, he rolls safeties down to stop the run. It leaves some big yardage behind it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Three bombs.
Yeah. I mean, Russell's got, he's got adequate receivers.
Well, I think I'm going to buy that jersey.
Russell Wilson?
Yeah, because I think I could probably have it around for 15 years. Very clever.
Yes.
He's a Houdini of a sort.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is a guy who quit baseball to take up football.
Right. Yeah, but the desire to win, want to be the best. And patience, has mm-hmm. the arm strength, the mobility.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, everyone has them winning the Super Bowl.
Well, right now they're in control of... They made the playoffs. They've already clinched the playoff spot. Right. The first team to do that. Number two, it's...
Home field.
They're going to get home field. And this is a place that... They consistently win at.
No, yeah.
It is.
It's like 14 in a row. So.
Yeah, it's ridiculously hard to get it. The biggest reason why they went to the Super Bowl against the Steelers, and what was that, 06, 07? Super Bowl 40. I forget which. was because home field. Because they beat the Cowboys, which really the Cowboys should have won that. But Romo, of course, screws it up. His first
baseball. Well, we were at a minor league baseball
stadium. Lakewood Blue Claws.
And I think I was the only Seahawks fan because I'm rooting and people looking at me like two heads. But that was a whole different regime, wasn't it?
That was Mike Holmgren, Matt Hasselbeck, and Sean Alexander versus the end of Cowher and Bettis and the start of Roethlisberger when he had the worst quarterback rating in as a winner, because there have been some bad quarterbacks.
Now, that Seattle running back you mentioned, I remember
Sean Alexander.
Yeah, he got a big contract, and I think he walked to the bank and never returned to the field. What happened after that?
He, not too much. I always remember that he was seen as a doppelganger, a twin of Strahan, wasn't he? Because he had first of all, that gap between the teeth, that's a good thing.
Yeah, but he didn't have Kelly next to him.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't.
That wasn't Jim Kelly.
No, that's Kelly Ripa. No, I don't know what happened to Sean Alexander.
Right. I know, it happened.
I almost want to say he got cut, which, hey.
It's kind of like Sid Fernandez. Once he got the big bucks, couldn't even do five innings anymore.
No, sure. Well, hey, if you're struggling and you try to, try to fight for your position, or if all of a sudden you feel comfortable, well, why do I have to go for that extra mile? Yeah. So it's a shame. So what games do you like this week?
Well, I'd like to go through a couple. The only one really I like is the Panthers, and I think it's time to ride that bandwagon. Now I know it's in Saints.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the Panthers have won something like 8 in a row. Or...
In New Orleans? Or
No, in general.
8 in a row?
Have they?
I don't. It can't be 8
They're in a row. 9-3?
I don't think it's 8 in a row. It might be close. It might be more like 6 or 7 in a row.
Okay.
It's high.
Yeah. I mean, they're tied with the Saints right now. And I know the Saints play a lot better at home. And it's probably nothing to shape you up on a short week crossing the country as the beat down they took.
No. But it's home. I think lost one? They haven't lost any home games, right?
Right. But I think Cam Newton might be third or fourth pick for MVP in the league. Maybe at least fifth. He's up there. So Cam Newton has really made a turn. They played really well last year. I think they covered. They pressed the last five games in a row. At the end of the season last year, the Panthers.
Yeah, and they had a good record last year.
As the NFL coming down the stretch here, because we reached past the three-quarter pole,
mm-hmm.
and I think maybe the Panthers are getting four.
Right.
And the other thing is Seattle's getting three
mm-hmm.
in San Francisco.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's a match up because they play twice a year every year.
Yes.
You're going to be surprised by anything each other does.
No.
No. You know, it could be a slugfest.
I think it could be the way San Francisco's going. Oh, by the way, yes, you were correct. Eight games in a row.
That's what I thought.
On an 8-game winning streak.
Yeah, so I really want to get on this bandwagon. Because well, see, what are we going to wait for? And we're going to get points the whole way, pretty much. So.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't think people are going to expect. But they can play defense. They have a mobile quarterback.
Mm-hmm. And a very good one, too.
Right. And they have a run game.
Yes, they do.
So now that sounds like we're talking about Seattle.
Yeah, for the most part, yeah.
So those same attributes. Yeah.
But I would have to say I'd probably take Steve Smith over any wide receiver that St. Louis or Seattle.
Well, if you could will it to be done and trash talk it to be done, he's your man.
That is true. He's
the one. Bring it.
No, he absolutely does.
Yeah, he's a stud. He's fun to watch.
It is, and it's hard to believe how old he is. Like I know he's at
UCLA. So that I'd just love to see that matchup.
Yeah, you probably are.
Yeah,
you probably are. I mean, right now it's very likely that if Carolina wins, don't forget they're in charge of the South. They lead
well,
the South
because
they're both 9-3. So that's going to be a big game.
Well, aren't they all?
Well, they all are, especially now. But coming down the stretch, this is where the fun games come in. So. So
that's huge, right?
Yeah, I would have to say so.
So those two games. So I'm going to take the points in each one. I'm going to take the Seahawks with the three.
Okay.
And I'm going to take the...
Carolina?
Carolina with the four, yeah, for sure.
Okay. That sounds pretty good. I like this.
You got Raiders, Jets. This time it's finally in Jets. Oh. Was not rivaling played
no,
often.
No, no, it's oh yeah, yeah, it's always
often
been.
In Raiders.
Always, always
somehow
in
they
Oakland.
Punished the Jets. So
always
now,
in Oakland.
Now can they do something there?
I don't know. I'm beaten down.
Yeah,
I'll still, you know, I'm the type of guy who wears my jersey every Sunday.
Sure.
You know, I've got my little routine. But
that's the only reason I mention them, because neither of them are going anywhere.
Yeah, so I'm still going to do it.
The Redskins and the Chiefs, I don't know if they're both going to have to change their names when this game is over.
You know, it's interesting. I'll hit on that just for a quick second, because I know that could be a long-up battle. But we get the NFL Shop catalog.
Yes.
And I can't tell you how many pages in there. It's got the logo. So anybody who thinks that it's going to change, it's not going to change. Because why? When they're selling them. And if anything, they're maybe thinking, well, if they do change them, we can sell all this stuff.
What if they just called them the Skins?
I don't see why not. I mean, KFC.
I mean, it sounds like practice, right? Isn't it Shirts Skin. Against the Skins? I know it wasn't
Yeah,
basketball.
Shirts for Skins.
Yeah, so, you know, that's something you do at camp. I mean,
it might happen. And it might have just one of those nondescript logos. You know, the Browns, it's just the orange helmet.
Right.
Yeah, well, the Redskins will just be the name Skins.
Yeah, but why not just embroider a no over top of it? What's that, the circle with the slash through it?
Right. Yeah.
You know, I can save on all my stuff. I don't want to buy a whole new wardrobe.
No, Mike, you have so much. That'd be impossible. But you'd be the foundation of an antique store with all that stuff.
There will be a time,
so I gotta quickly tell you about my fantasy team. I've won four in a row, and I'm in third place. So I'm in line for the playoffs. I started off 1-4.
Who's getting you the real points here? Kickers or running backs?
Running backs. Eddie Lacy picked up steam. I picked up Zach.
Eddie Lacy.
I picked up Zach Stacy. And when Rodgers went out, I was searching. All of a sudden, Nick Foles falls into my lap. Nobody picked him up. And this was right after he had that huge game. That huge game. What was it like?
And still nobody wanted him?
Well, no. I picked him up first. Because Rodgers went out with the collarbone. Right. That was on the Monday.
Huge.
Nobody picked him up.
No interceptions.
No.
It's amazing.
19-0.
Now, is he saving the worst for last? Or he's the real deal?
I think he's the real deal.
And then I saw the coach, Chip Kelly, taking his foot off the gas coming down the stretch in that game. Is he saving stuff for other people?
I think, he's saving stuff, but B, I think he's starting to get the idea of what the NFL game is. Like, it's fun to come in and be like, nah, I'm running the show. Look at what I can do. All of a sudden, you get, you know.
Well, the Arizona coach, Arians?
Bruce Arians, yeah.
Yeah. But didn't he say that stuff Philly does might work on Saturday?
Yeah. I think that's true.
And then
don't forget,
Sunday.
Chip Kelly's, you know, is used to playing 13, maybe 14 games a year. And that's, you know, those last two
it's
games.
It's fun to listen to in the press
absolutely
conference.
Is.
I heard the one he had, Monday? And he was talking about Naaman Foles, the quarterback for the next 1,000 years.
Next 1,000 years.
Yeah, because Pete hasn't announced him as a starter.
Yeah, I think
so
that's
now
true.
Somehow him and Mike Vick are buds.
Yeah, I know, but that's a shame. So going to baseball for a minute. A lot of moves. But Granderson's been talking to the Mets. Curtis Granderson, the lefty Yankee.
And what part will he?
He'd be a power hitting outfielder that we so desperately need.
Have we ever had one of those?
Daryl Strawberry was probably the last one.
That's it. Kevin McReynolds.
Yeah.
Too far back.
No, it was about the same time. But who do you remember?
Right.
Kevin McReynolds Straw. Yeah, you remember Straw. And the Yankees signing a catcher, Brian McCann.
Fielder, I heard.
And Jacoby Ellsbury, another Red Sox coming down to Yankee.
So now it's just routine now.
Yeah.
It's no big deal.
Yeah, of course. Because you go for, apparently now you go for the ring in Boston and you go down to New York for the money.
For the cash.
So that's how it is.
So the wheel has turned.
Yes, absolutely. All right, cool, Dad. Well, thanks very much for joining me this week.
Oh, that's great.
Here at the kitchen table. Hopefully we can try to keep that. I know
we have our
weekly phone conversations.
Yeah, it's too dull.
No, I understand. Well, you're always welcome here. And they're not a problem. You can like us on Facebook at Everyman Sports. You can find us on iTunes. Just search for Everyman Sports. You can visit our website, everymansports.podbean.com. Or you can email me. Any questions, comments, concerns, want to know how my son is doing, all that stuff, at everymansports@gmail.com. That's one word, everymansports@gmail.com. Thank you very much. Take care. Stay warm.